Please turn to Galatians chapter 5, and to introduce our lesson, we want to read verse 4. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. This letter was written by Paul the Apostle, and it was addressed to the congregations that met in the area known as Galatia. Those congregations were being affected by some people who were teaching things that were not right. They were trying to get Christians to accept at least part of the law of Moses. They were especially concerned about following the commandments and circumcision and observing the Sabbath. And the Apostle Paul wrote some matters dealing with those very issues. But in this verse he wrote, "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." This morning our lesson was based on a very special request that is made in Hebrews 12 and verse 28. And that request is, "Let us have grace." We showed what God's grace is. We showed how we become servants of God through grace. And then we showed how we need God's grace to serve Him faithfully in His kingdom. That brings us to our lesson for this evening. We certainly need God's grace. I think we all agree to that. That being the case, and this is what our lesson is about this evening, let us avoid falling from grace. It troubles me that there are many people today who believe that it's impossible for a child of God to fall from grace. That certainly isn't taught in the scriptures. And this one passage deals with that matter very clearly. It was written to Christians in the first century, showing that as a result of seeking justification through the law of Moses, the result is falling from grace. Well, we need to appreciate the grace of God. We need to request to have grace. I believe that's a request that we need to make on a regular basis. Since we certainly need God's grace, we need to be sure that we avoid falling from it. That's a matter that's addressed many times in the scriptures. Well, we want to deal with it for just a little while this evening. The first point we want to make is that the Bible contains many warnings against falling from grace. This is not a complete list, but let's take the time to look at about three passages which give very strong warnings against falling. Let's begin with Hebrews chapter 3 and read a few verses starting at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3, starting at verse 12. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." This was written to brethren or Christians. And notice that there's a strong warning against departing from the living God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. Now the writer had just referred to ways in which the children of Israel had not remained faithful unto God. Remember, they left Egypt after crying out to God for a deliverer. He sent Moses, and Moses led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. They were on their way to the promised land. They rebelled against God, and God punished them. Many of them were not allowed to go into the promised land. In regard to that, the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 4 and verse 11, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." That's referring to the mistake that was made by the children of Israel as they were on their way to the promised land. And I believe those two warnings are very clear and very strong. But perhaps there's one that's even stronger, written by the Apostle Peter. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read about three verses, starting at verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. That gives a very graphic representation of what the Lord sees when one of his children turns away from him. Now, as I have said many times, if the Bible says something once, it's important. But if the Bible repeats something many times, it just seems that special emphasis is being placed on that. Now, all of these warnings we just noticed were written to Christians in the first century. They still apply to us today. And if the writer of Hebrews saw fit through inspiration to issue this warning several times in his letter, if the Apostle Peter saw fit through inspiration to include this very strong warning that we just read, I believe God wants us to take special note of it. We need to take whatever measures are necessary to avoid falling from grace. Now, on the basis of those warnings that we just noticed, let's look at some things that can cause one to fall from grace. I never cease to be amazed that when the Lord teaches us to do something, He also teaches us how to do it. And when He tells us to avoid some practice, He gives us a wealth of information that will explain why we need to avoid it, whatever it is. Let's look at some things that can cause one to fall from grace. And as we do so, let's begin with one of the Lord's parables in Matthew chapter 13. This is from the Lord's parable of the sower. Remember, a sower went forth to sow a seed, and as he did so, the seed fell upon four different types of soil. And as the Lord explained this parable, He showed that the different types of soil have to do with the various ways in which people hear the word and react to it. Let's read verses 5 and 6 of Matthew 13. This specifically has to do with the seed falling into the part of the soil known as the stony places. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now, this particular type of soil is not just a patch of ground that has a bunch of rocks in it. For years, I misunderstood it and thought that was the picture that was being presented. That isn't it at all. What it is, this has reference to a ledge of stone with a thin layer of soil on it. There's enough soil there for the seed to sprout and bring forth a root system, but it's not able to grow deep, and there's also very little moisture. The sun comes out, and what happens to that young plant? It withers away. Now, we understand that from agriculture. I'm not a farmer, but that's something simple. I can even understand that. Now, the Lord was dealing with something much deeper than that. He gave His explanation, and let's look at verses 20 and 21 of the same chapter. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. That is, he stumbles. Now, what's the lesson that we learn from the Lord's explanation? We learn that tribulation is one thing that can cause a child of God to fall away. Jesus specifically mentioned tribulation or persecution that arises because of the word. Persecution, tribulation, they're challenging. If we're not careful, they can cause us to fall away. By the way, when a person becomes a child of God, he needs to especially be on guard. And I think this is based on the example of our Savior. Right after he was baptized by John at the Jordan River, what happened to him? He was led immediately by the Spirit out into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days. Satan is very interested in a young child of God. And if he can put something into the path of a new Christian to cause him to stumble, that's what he wants to achieve. Well, we just have to be mindful of the fact that tribulation can cause a child of God to fall away. It can cause one to fall from grace. I was reminded of something, though, just yesterday and today. Sometimes our faith has to be tested to see if it's genuine or not. I think I've mentioned it several times. I'm right now doing some bathroom remodeling for Ann, who was with us this morning. And one of the problems was that water came in and caused a lot of damage. Well, there's a lot of glass around and it has to be sealed. I thought I found where the water was coming in, and the first thing I had to do was take care of the leak. Well, I worked on that for several days. I think I got it all taken care of, but I couldn't find out for sure until there was a rain. I've been waiting 3 weeks for a good rain. Well, we finally got one today, so I hope in the morning I can tell whether the leak is stopped. I think maybe you see the point that I'm trying to make from that. There had to be some rain to determine if the leak was stopped. If that work wasn't put to the test, I'll never know whether it's going to hold up. But it was put to the test early this morning. Well, that might be a crude illustration, but tribulation, if it's faced in the right way, can have a positive outcome. It doesn't have to cause one to fall away. It can actually make one stronger. How is it that we develop patience or endurance? Well, James still tells us our faith has to be put to the test. The other day in my Bible reading, I read about Abraham and the great test that God gave him when he told Abraham to take his son Isaac that he had waited 25 years for and to offer him as a burnt offering. God was pleased with the reaction of Abraham. He didn't make any excuses. He didn't put off what God wanted him to do. He simply complied with the Lord's instructions. And the end result was, there was a voice which said, "Now I know that you fear God." Now, Abraham is known as the friend of God, but he passed his test with flying colors. A lesser man might have said, "I'm not going to follow you anymore, God." Not Abraham. He did what God wanted him to do. So tribulation can result in a fall from grace. It doesn't have to. It can actually make the person who faces it even stronger. We've already touched on this in Galatians chapter 5. Another cause for falling from grace is seeking to be justified by the law of Moses. Let's go back to Galatians 5 and tie in a few extra verses. Let's actually begin at verse 1. We read verse 4, but let's begin at verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, remain true to the Lord's new covenant. Don't turn away from it. Don't become bound to that old law. It's been taken away. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. And that's a serious matter. Seeking justification from the law of Moses results in falling from grace. Now, there's a very important principle that I like to mention every once in a while based on that very important point. Many times today, I hear people try to justify certain practices because they were done under the Old Testament, specifically using mechanical instruments in worship. I know that the children of Israel use instruments in worship. That's clearly revealed. But to do it today because it was done back then, that's seeking justification from the old law that's been taken out of the way. What's the end result? Falling from grace. The Lord's new covenant is far superior to the old. Why in the world would we want to seek justification from something that's been taken out of the way that isn't as good or powerful as that which the Lord has given to us? Well, seeking justification from the law of Moses results in a departure from grace. Well, Colossians 3 and verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." If we will do that, we won't have to worry about seeking justification from the law of Moses. The law served its purpose. It was never intended to be permanent. It was temporary until a perfect covenant could be given. Of course, Christ accomplished that. Let's read about a man who at one time was highly commended by the Apostle Paul. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and read verse 10. In the book of Colossians, a man named Demas is highly commended for his service as a Christian, as a co-worker with the Apostle Paul. Something happened to this man, and notice what's said about him. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Earlier in Colossians, he's commended. Something happened to this man. He developed a love affair with the world. Consequently, he turned away. Isn't that sad? Let's turn to James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Now remember, we're looking at things that can cause a Christian to fall from grace. We need to be aware of what these things are. James 5, verses 19 and 20. The last two verses of the book of James. "Brethren, if even any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." The point that we learn from this is that erring from the truth can lead to falling from grace. To whom is this written? It's written to brethren. If any of you, it's entirely possible for a Christian to err from the truth. A person who has erred from the truth is in need of conversion, And he's in need of having a multitude of sins hidden. And thankfully that can be done. But the point that we want to make is that erring from the truth can lead to a falling from grace. Truth is very important. The wise man said, buy the truth and sell it not. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We don't want to err from the truth. And one more cause that we want to mention is found in Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5. Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5. Now, this is part of the message that the Lord sent to the congregation that met in the city of Ephesus. He's already commended it for the good things that it was doing. But he found fault with it. Verses 4 and 5 of Revelation 2. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Somewhere along the line, this congregation had lost its fervent love that it had at one time for the Lord. And the Lord said, I want you to restore that. Their love had, I suppose, grown somewhat cold. They left the fervent, burning love that they had at one time. The Lord let this congregation know that if it did not repent, it would not be in good standing with him. Now, why did the Lord say that? Because he wanted it to repent so it would be in good standing with him. But the point we need to learn from this is that leaving the first love can lead to falling from grace. Well, these are some things that can cause a child of God to fall from grace. This is not a complete list, but these are five different things. Tribulation, seeking justification from the law of Moses, loving the world, erring from the truth, and leaving the first love. Now, to avoid falling from grace, and that's what we're concerned about in our lesson, we must guard against being overcome by things such as these. Well, the Bible points them out to us, so we're aware of them. That way we can be on guard against them. Well, let's turn our attention now to some instructions that will prevent falling from grace. I mentioned earlier that when God tells us to do something or warns us against some particular practice, he gives us plenty of information that will help us. Well, we're clearly taught to avoid falling from grace. We learn that certain things can lead to falling from grace. What are some positive instructions that will prevent falling from grace? Let's look at Hebrews 12. These are some verses that we read on a regular basis, but there's a reason for that. We need to be mindful of these very important points. Hebrews chapter 12, we will start at verse 1. Now remember, in chapter 11, the great faith chapter of the Bible, we read about the faith of many men and women from the Old Testament. They provide a great example for us. And chapter 12 begins with the word wherefore, indicating that what's about to be said is based on what had just been said. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Right now in my Bible reading, I think I've got two more chapters in the book of Genesis. I've just read about Joseph. I love to study about that man. He was treated badly by his own brothers for no fault of his own. Did he give up and quit? No. And God never gave up on him. It amazes me, and I've said this many times, when you're reading about Joseph and the things that he faced, it says over and over again, but God was with him. God never left Joseph. and Joseph never left God. Talk about a man who faced tribulation. It was Joseph, but he remained true. Well, he's just one of the great characters that we read about in chapter 11. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. The instruction that we learn from these verses that will help us to prevent falling from grace is to run the race that is set before us with patience, keeping our eyes focused on the Lord. That's what the Hebrew Christians were told to do. They were facing great tribulation. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was taking its toll on some of these early Christians. And the book of Hebrews was written for the purpose of encouraging them to remain faithful unto the Lord. As one of my teachers pointed out many times in class, this letter refers to itself as the word of exhortation in chapter 13 and verse 22. In other words, this is a message of encouragement. Now, it contains some strong words of reproof, but it's written for the purpose of encouraging faithfulness. One thing that will help us to prevent falling from grace is to run the race with patience, keeping our eyes focused on the Lord. If you do that, you won't go to the right, you won't go to the left. You'll be going straight down the road like the Lord wants us to do. In addition to keeping our eyes focused on the Lord, we learn from James 4 and verse 7 that there's somebody we have to resist. James 4 and verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now that can be challenging because Satan is our adversary. He will do his best to try to get us to turn away from the Lord. He can and must be resisted. And James says, if you resist him, he will flee from you. The great example in resisting Satan is our Lord himself. We mentioned earlier that after his baptism, he was tempted out in the wilderness for a period of 40 days. And of course, Jesus had God's word hidden in his heart, and he withstood the temptations that Satan placed before him. Satan is a real being. He's our adversary. He's the tempter, and the Bible uses some graphic terms to describe him. And the Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. They're revealed to us in the scriptures, but he must be resisted. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. In order to prevent falling from grace, it will certainly help us to develop the Christian graces with all diligence. 2 Peter 1, let's start at verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, now that has to do with the effort that we're to put forth, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, or love. Those are the seven Christian graces, and we're told to develop them and grow in them with all diligence. Now, Peter doesn't stop there. He talks about the outcome of failing to develop those graces, and then he talks about the outcome of developing them with all diligence. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is referring to the seven graces. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now listen to this. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This will help us to prevent falling from grace. That is, to develop the Christian graces with all diligence. They need our constant attention. They deserve our best attention. Let's look at Jude, verse 24. We need to remember that the Lord is able to keep us from falling. Jude, verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We need to always remember that the Lord is able to keep us from falling. You know, the Lord is always near. We can call upon him for help, and he's ready, willing, and able to help us at all times. But we have to call upon him. We have to trust him. And we need to follow his instructions. But the Lord is much stronger than Satan. Oh, Satan's powerful. The Bible even acknowledges that. But the Lord is much stronger. And then finally, let's look at Revelation 2 and read verse 10. Revelation 2 and verse 10. This is from the message that the Lord sent to the church in Smyrna. This congregation was facing hardship, and the Lord said, there's more to come. But it's not going to last forever. And he called upon his followers in this congregation to remain true to him and never give up. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. In other words, this tribulation would not last forever. Eventually it would come to an end. Now, what was the message that the Lord gave to this congregation? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The instruction to learn from this statement is that in order to prevent falling from grace, we must endure tribulation, knowing that a crown of life awaits those who are faithful. Well, we've looked at some warnings found in the Bible that have to do with falling from grace. We know that's a real possibility. But the Bible also points out some things that can cause one to fall. We need to be mindful of those things. And if we face some of them, we need to pay careful attention to it. And then we need to follow these instructions that are given to us in the Bible. They will prevent falling from grace. Let's think about these things as we go through this year. I don't know what this year has in store for us. I can remember about a year ago that we were rejoicing that 2020 had finally come to an end. Do you remember that? Well, 2021 had some challenges of its own. And I'm persuaded that this year will have its challenges as well. But with the Lord's help, we can overcome. We can remain faithful. We don't have to fall away. God, help us to consider these things on a regular basis. I'm persuaded they will help us tremendously.